Good morning, everybody. Well, I tell you what, we had a great time on Tuesday night, didn't we? The worship night. And what do you say? Let's do it again next month. All right, let's do it. I mean, it was. We had a. This whole campus was packed. We had a packed house here, and then we had a basketball game going on with the academy in the back. Then we had Peace University. They had a whole crowd of folks in that, and then they had a whole crowd of folks in the concealed weapon course. Everybody getting guns. So it was rocking and rolling, and the whole fields over here were full. Folks were practicing on the fields over here, the athletic fields. So it was a great night. So let's do it again. Tom, let me tell you about Tom. Tom was a single guy living at home, living with his dad and working in the family business. And he knew that he was going to inherit a fortune once his dad died. His dad was fairly sickly anyway, and so he knew it wouldn't be long. There's two things Tom wanted. Tom wanted to learn how to invest his inheritance. And then he wanted a wife to share his fortune with. So one evening after an investment meeting, he spotted the most gorgeous woman that he had ever seen in his life. I mean, he was just spellbound from first look. And she took his breath away. And so he walked over to her and he said, my name's Tom, and I know I look probably like an average, ordinary guy to you. The truth of the matter is, he says, in a short, very short time, he said, when father dies, I'm going to inherit $20 million. And she found it interested, and obviously she was impressed by it, and so she asked for the business card. So he gave her his business card. But 2 weeks later, she became his stepmother. Women are just really much better at estate planning than men, aren't they? let me ask you a question. How many of you ever had something stolen from you? You had something stolen? I mean, like a big ticket item? Anybody ever had your car stolen? Yeah. Yeah. But by the way, just pause for a moment. Let me just tell you something. By the way, don't leave your cars unlocked outside anymore. We got a couple of guys from the community roaming around, and they look and unlock cars, and then they find anything pertinent, they take it. So our security crowd's on it. But just heads up, don't help them out. All right? We hadn't had any rapture of the cars yet. They just opened the doors. By rapture of the car, that's what happened to mine in my driveway when we went out one morning a few years ago, and it was totally gone. I mean, that's a weird feeling when you walk out of your house and your car, it's a violation. You wonder, who would do that? I mean, you work hard, you get your car, you pay it, and somebody just steals it. I mean, it's a crazy feeling. You know, it really is. And couldn't find out. They carried it a few blocks down the road in the woods and burned it, set it on fire. Yeah. It's just crazy. It's crazy. We've been talking about 2017, and I think all of us bear witness that God really wants to do something in 2017. The word is breakthrough. We all could use a breakthrough in some areas of our life, yes, and we believe this is the year this breakthrough happens. But it's not automatic. Now, God wants it for all of us. I believe that with all my heart. But just like the children of Israel, it don't just automatically happen. Because now there's a participation on our side. There's a sense of believing and obedience that we walk into what is our destiny. I mean, we spent the whole month of January talking about Jabez and the fact that our borders that are set by God in the book of Acts. You're in Charleston because God Almighty set a border for you to be in Charleston. Whatever else the borders are, we said in the series, you remember, that sometimes we create our own borders and God has more for us than we can see and understand. And what we're believing is that 2017 will enlarge us and move every single one of us more toward God's borders for us and not just our borders that may limit Him. How many of you believe God's got more for you? How many of you believe God wants more for you? How many of you believe he wants more fulfillment and happiness, and he wants to bless you? He does. But friends, here's the deal. What we're going to talk to you about today and the next couple of weeks is something that the ball is in our court. And if we don't get this straight, then people can like you. I can pray for you. Other people can. But it just shuts some things down that God has for you. And it's just no other way around it. No other way around it. There's a little book in the Old Testament. And it's a book that has like four chapters in it. And they take a look at morality in one, family relations in another one, spirituality in one. And then right in the middle of that, he has one, the chapter on finances. And the prophet is Malachi. And Malachi, the way he deals with this is just, it's fascinating to me. I mean, it's genius. It's God's word, of course, but it's genius. Do you ever read the Bible? Huh? Do y'all find it as ingenious as I do? When Malachi comes at this, he has a group of people like this. God's put his hand on him. The bar in all these areas that I just mentioned, spirituality, morality, and family, it's just dropped in Israel. And so God tagged Malachi and says, you're to address this to my people. The bar has got to come back up. You go after Malachi. So Malachi's job was to come after. So he steps in the arena like this, and he starts this way. It's just fascinating. Let me paraphrase. He starts by getting them to think. He says this. Who would be the last person that you would ever think that would get robbed? I mean, thievery is around, but who is the last person? Do you ever think a thief could get to? I mean, you think about some people pretty high up in security, hey, a thief would never get to them. Or you think about some pretty tough people, and you say, oh, they would never mess with them. That's how he starts setting this thing up. Look at it now. He starts in Malachi. Malachi 3 and verse 8, look at it, it says, will a man rob God? And yet you've robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? And Malachi says to these folks, in your tithes and your offerings. And then he says, because of that, you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. Even this whole, one of a few folks, he said, even the whole nation has dropped the bar, regardless of the fact that for centuries, these guys have been taught how to honor God with their tithes and offerings. But for some reason, during Malachi's day, it had totally bombed out. And so Malachi was addressing it. He said, so bring the tithes into my storehouse, that there will be food in my house. Try me or test me on this, says the Lord. For if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out... Now, pause. I kind of pause right in the reading here, because I want, the rest of it, when I read it, I want you to see it like I'm seeing it. This whole issue is not an issue about money. This is an issue about heart. This whole issue is one of understanding what the Father God, not only has he been robbed of substance, that's not even the big thing, because God can create substance himself. I mean, he didn't have any trouble creating the world, right? So if he needed a little something, he could create it. That's not a problem. And it's not about the church. We're going to do what God wants us to do, whether anybody else does it or not. So that's not about that. But it's about, in part, a Father God, a grandfather in my case, wanting to bless his children, wanting good things for them. And he set this system up so it worked this way, that you honor me and my word. You just be obedient to me. And then that gives me a chance to let my true nature come out to you, because this is what I want. Don't rob. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing not to be able to bless your kids? What if your kids said, I don't want you to think, I don't ever do nothing for me. You say, come on, let me. Anybody here love just to see your kids happy, and if you can help make them happy, you know, there's not a one of you I would let you do what my kids do to me. I went, it's the craziest thing. I mean, I don't care how we get together. We can get together. We can meet up after church or something. We can go out to eat. We go out and eat. And every single time, I don't know how it happened, my kids say, Dad, I forgot my wallet. I raised you, sent you to college. You forgot your wallet. I forgot my wallet. And you know what I do?
Pay for it.
Yeah. Now, if you would do that, I would probably pay for it too anyway, but for the sake of the story, I thought I'd pay for it, but you're going to pay me back. But you don't do that. Why? What is that? And they rob God of his true nature of being able to get back to them. Now, I said that here, and I pointed out because now I want you to look at this in context as we read through it. Now, you do this. You know, you just the 10% is what tithe means. You bring it to me. I will open a window. What's the next words? For who? Who is this all about? God's kids. Get it straight where it is. I will open the window of heaven for you. God didn't even say, you do this and you will bless me. No. He can get his own stuff. This is a matter of the heart. See, if I will open the window of heaven, and I will pour out for such blessings that there will not be room enough in the storm. And I will rebuke the devourer. Come on, for who? For you. See, I'm 17. I can't rebuke the devourer all the time for you. You got to have somebody running in where you don't know where he's coming from. You got to have someone doing that, someone opening the window, someone doing that, or stuff won't happen that needs to happen because it's right here, the pathway. And it said, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. And I could really expand on that, and maybe we will sometime, but the fruit of your ground goes everything from your crop, I think, to your family. I think it goes to that is under, in your spectrum, what God has given you, you know, governance over. God says, I'll protect that of your family, of your what you do, your work. You know, my hand will be on you. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field. Again, I think that goes in a lot of directions, not just agriculture. It's those of you working in businesses. It's the fruit of your loins. That it will not fall off the vine, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nation will call you blessed, for you'll be a delightful land. Now, see, hundreds of years ago, this was all in place. And for hundreds of years, this worked. God was honored. His people were blessed. God was happy. They were happy. Poor people got taken care of because they had all kinds of systems that would help, even leave grain in the field. And the poor people would come by and get it, and God would bless them with lots of grain. I mean, it just worked. And for whatever reason, the bar dropped. He had established the fact that you work hard and you trust me. I mean, you don't do anything shady. You don't take any backdoor deals. You work honest and you work hard. You handle your money wisely. You stay away from destructive debt. Don't get overloaded in debt. You save a little money, you know, put it here, you take some more money, you put it over here for retirement, you take some money over here, and you give God what belongs to God, and it's just established this principle of lifestyle. Then you have enough, I'll bless you, and you can give beyond the tithe and offerings. It's just how it works. Now, what happened? What happened? I know it's hard for you to believe, but something happened. And God's very own people that he had delivered, that he worked miracles for, that he got them out of the belly of Egypt. But somehow they started back on them. Some of them, they just were giving a little bit and tipping God, but, and I know you won't believe this, but some of them even stopped giving altogether. And as a whole nation, this began to be a real thing. Well, Mike, what happened? I don't know. Let me just look, throw some possibilities out to you. The first is this. They had the rules. And somehow in their head, they did away with the rules and they started making up their own rules. What they lived by and been taught for years was the guiding principles. They decided that they just had some of their own rules that they wanted to do instead of obeying God. Like, for instance, this possibly could have happened. You know, they're, say Jane and Sue, they go to the mall. And so they start getting some stuff, and I said, well, Jane and Sue, let me get a male in there, let me make a married couple. Let's say John and Sue. They go to the mall. John takes his iPad with him, like I do, and sit outside and read. It's a great place to read, you know? And so they're reading, and so therefore Sue comes back and says, you know, let's look at this. And so they go look at this, and that's a good buy. And so they buy that, and the next thing you know, they buy this, and they buy that. And so they get it all together, and they're riding home in the car. And as they're riding in the car, all of a sudden, he becomes aware that they had just overspent the budget. So when he looks at Sue and said, what are we going to do? And she said, I don't know. And one of them had this bright idea. I don't know if you think it was a man or a woman who had the bright idea. I tell you what we'll do. The money that is God's money that we had set aside to honor him this month, let's take his money and use it for ourselves. Wonder what God thinks about that, one of them said. Another one said, I don't think he cares. Really? Or maybe somebody started building a house. And you know, it's when you start doing all that, you know, it's easy to do and start adding here and adding there. And they had to budget out, but you wanted this and you wanted that. And next thing you know, you're sitting in a house that God's wonderfully blessed you with, so to speak. And yet, because of some decisions you made, when you look at your budget, you said, you know, we don't have enough for what we've got, and now to honor God with what is his. So what do you do? Well, let's take what is God's and pay for our stuff with it. It just started to happen. Malachi's day, I mean, it just, the principles had just dropped, and they got real brazen about it. I mean, they're just out there, and they felt no remorse, no guilt. It just, this was my lifestyle, and I'm making up my own rules as I go. And God taps Malachi and says, I need you to deal with this. Now, you understand, Malachi was a prophet. He wasn't running for an office. He could care less what the people thought about him. He didn't want to be friends with them. He didn't want to go home and eat with them. All he wanted to do is he had a message that God said, I have got to have this bar of morality and of spirituality and finances and relationships. All of them got to come back up. And you demand to do it. And I just loved it. It's just ingenious. To Malachi, you know, like I said, he's got to do this. So he started, but now as he focuses in, can you imagine him saying to these guys, like I'm saying to you, like, have you ever been robbed? And everybody says what? Who has? Oh, yeah. How does it feel? Oh, it feels terrible. You feel violated. You know, it's like, is there something wrong with this thing? And they said, yeah, absolutely. Then Malachi asked him, he said, let me ask you a question. Let me see, you got friends over here? Y'all know the people beside you? Malachi would say, hey, would you rob your friend? And they would say, no, you got to be kidding me. And they said, hey, how about your neighbor? You know, your neighbors? Would you, when your neighbors were gone, would you go in their house and steal? Reminds me of a story where this couple gets a set of tickets to a real, huge ball game. And it's anonymous. And they're so excited because it's like it's on a 50-yard line. It's great tickets. And so they kept saying, who did this? I mean, they're expensive tickets. And so they said, I bet when we get there, I bet it's next to the people and we'll know who it is then. So they went to the ball game. Great seats. Sit down. I mean, it was just the best seats. And nobody's around them. They knew. So they ended up going on the way home. And they said, who could this be? Who is this wonderful, anonymous person who graced us with the tickets? They got back home, opened the door, went inside, and everything in the house was gone. So be careful, somebody's going to get you out of your house with anonymous tickets. Be careful. So would you steal from your neighbor? Oh, absolutely not. How about a coworker? They leave and go out and you see the pocketbook. Would you take something out of their pocketbook? And finally, they kind of getting just really tiff with this stuff. They said, listen to me, Malachi. There's some integrity inside of me. You understand? I mean, there's some bar set that's just stuff that I would not, it's just below my character. I would not, in no way I would ever steal from my friends and steal from my coworkers. You got to be kidding. The questions are not even, they're almost inappropriate. It's just ingenious. Then Malachi says, it's true. I hadn't heard one person said you stole from them. Not one neighbor, not one coworker. I've never heard that complaint from anybody around here. So you're right. I don't think you would. But here's the question. I'm asking that if you would not rob them, how in the world would you rob God that you say you love and serve? If you have the common decency not to violate somebody and take their stuff, I mean, if that's a core issue of decency, then when it bumps up to God and what He says, you don't give Him of your tithes. It belongs to Him already. You're returning something. And as you return it to Him, there's this dynamic happening in a heart that God has established. No man established it. I know some people will say, Mike, that's in the Old Testament. But it's in the New Testament too, and it started before the law, so it's not in the law that went away. It's tithing was back long before that, and still around in Jesus' day, and still around the day. God did it. He said, there's something I know about human beings that's tied to their heart that always is this battle. Then why would you do the unthinkable? Why? Because, see, something. I got a lot of revelation this time around on this. And I know I've preached on it for, 30-some years. And about, once a year or so, we'll come in, we'll delve in like we're dealing now. Because people have vision drift and they just need to be refocused for their sake. But what I started seeing this time was this huge thing about honoring God and how dishonoring it is not to obey Him in this. It's just, it's a direct kind of insult. And I really saw it personal, more personal than I've ever seen it, the violation of God Himself. And then it started triggering some other things in me. And I'm going to ask Wanda Lingenberg if she'd come help me with this. This is Dr. Wanda Lingenberg, and she just does everything around here. Give her a hand. Now, one thing she does is she plays. She can do anything. She plays, she sings, she dances, whatever. Now, so there's a song we sing a lot. We still sing it sometimes, but I grew up with it, and the song is something like, I
surrender all.
You might know the song?
Yeah. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. You're really good.
You are very good. You do have it. Yeah. Now, Wanda's singing, okay? And she lifts a hand and she's worshiping. Keep this one down. She's worshiping, right? She loves you. I'm surrendering. And let me just play Jesus for a little bit. It's a long, far stretch. I'm aware of that. My mom's sitting here, and she said, no way. No, there you go. She says, you're going to have to use your imagination on this one big time. So, yeah, use it, but let me play Jesus, okay? Now, she's surrendering, right? She's surrendering what? We're worshiping together. We're worshiping. And then she takes her other hand, and she puts it in my pocket while she's worshiping. And it was there. What? Does that just create a crazy head for you? I love you, Jesus, and I'm going to rob you. But that's what happens. Now, let's take it a step further, because this is what I got revelation on as well. Now, watch this. Now that she has taken something from me, are we closer, or is there a little gap now? You know, guilt tends to do that. Now something has happened, and now it's a little distance. So the little distance in the relationship starts off to happen with God. And now, watch this with me, because this is huge. This happens for a while. And now, after a while, now the relationship readjusts to the new norm. And this becomes norm. Are you with me? Because the book of James says this, is when you find something in the Word, like I'm talking to you about, and you see something in the Bible, if you don't obey it, then what starts to happen is you're deceived around that very thing. So now she has robbed God, but she is deceived about robbing God, and it doesn't prick her conscience, and she just comes to church, and she worships like it never happened. Are you with me? Are y'all with me? Yes, yes, yes. All right, now watch this. But something has happened in her head and in her soul, because now there's a reality that is blocked out of her, and she's not conscious of it. You with me? To that degree, there's this distance with God again, because now she's not living close, open, holes unbarred. You with me? Trust and responding, obedience. Now she's living in this. Now she starts to wonder why this Christian life is not what it is supposed to be. Where's the joy? Where's the other stuff that's supposed to be there? Now, let me ask you this. Do you think when she took this money that her authority in God strengthened or weakened? Weakened. And now, when it comes time to live out of that authority, rebuke the enemy, and do all this other kind of stuff, there's less voltage, so more stuff happens. Now, is God rebuking the devourer for her? No, so things get tougher. And she has these questions. I don't know where we went wrong. And she has no idea. Now, everybody listen. She has no idea of the deception that's blocking her life flow inside of her. Zero. She is being truly honest when she says, I don't know. And yet this whole spiral thing is coming down with things falling off the vine. Falling off the vine could be translated as refrigerator breaks. Fruit off the vine could be the car tears down. With God's blessing on her, it lasts longer. Are you with me? It's just things like that to start in a life spiral. Now, if he's not rebuking the devourer for her, and now other things are happening, you got a whole family system now that's exposed to stuff without God doing what he said he would do in Malachi. Let me say this now. This, which is God's money, he laid claim to it. He said, the tenth is mine. So again, you don't give the tenth, you bring it back to God, and he owns the tenth. But what it says is also, it says that now this tithe given to God takes the rest of her 90%, and now the 90% becomes blessed money. Are you with me? Now it's blessed, and God's blessing this money. If now she keeps this, what happens to the rest of her money? Yeah, it becomes what the Bible said, this is holy. God actually said, this is holy, it's mine, it's holy, it's set apart. Then it says that if you take it or don't give it, now it is what is called accursed. You remember when they were going in the book of Joshua, and they were going in and conquering the land? And so they said, now here, you can take all the spoils, but the gold and the silver and that kind of stuff, bring it to the temple. That's my tithe of y'all's victory. Don't take any of it for yourself. And the Bible says there was one guy who went into the battle, and he saw this stuff that was supposed to go to God, because God said, it's mine. And he took it, and he carried it and hid it in his tent. And it's all covered up in his tent. And so they went out the next day for the battle, and guess what happened? They lost the battle. men died. And now they started seeking God, what's wrong? I love how they did this, by the way. I mean, if you got a bunch of people and somebody's got something hidden that is the accursed thing, how do you find it? You know how they found it? They asked God, inquired of God, and had the Urim and Thummim and stuff where, you know, would indicate something. They'd ask God, is it in these two sections? And God would respond, nope, it's not there. And then they said, is it in these two sections? And God would answer and said, no, it's not there. So he said, the priest would say, so it's here. So is it on the left side, God, or the right side? God was speaking, it's on the left side. Is it in the front part of the half of the section now, or the back part? And God was speaking, it's in the front part. So it's, y'all, it's in this group. We'll stop right there. How about that? But they would do that all the way down until the last guy was there, and his name was Achan. And they went in Achan's tent, and they found what they called the accursed thing. And what, nobody, if you ask you this, what if, folks, you take the accursed thing and you put it with the rest of your money, or you put it in your bank account? Are you with me? This thing keeps going. Or if you put it in your 401k that you're depending on for the future, I don't know about you. I don't want God's stuff mixed up with my stuff when I'm facing the future and depending on God. Make sense to you? Now, having said all that with Wanda, what changes the whole trajectory of her 2017 is, Wanda, let's get God's presence on you. Let's get God's blessings on you. Let's get God's favor on you. Let's get the God working in your garden, working with your family, working with your husband, working with your kids. Let's get God in on this whole thing. Just give him back just what is his. It's all he has. Thanks, Wanda. Give her a hand. So I also got my money. Now, this is ingenious, I'm telling you. I think Malachi is doing a pretty good job, don't you? I mean, he's just brilliant. But there's more. He now is moving this whole thing, and he ratchets them up another notch. How in the world could you take what is already he laid out and bump it up another level? You know how he does it? Here's how he does it. He wants to see people what's really going on, and now he puts it in a family context. It's all now about family. Here goes the example let me give you. Imagine a man who builds a very, very large company, does a good job with it, and he has five children. And his five children, after his dad's getting older now, and then they can see retirement coming, and he needs to be because he's getting of age, that. And so all five kids say to him, he said, Dad, we got together as kids, and we want to be in your business. I mean, just seemed like a perfect place for us. You build it well, and now we can get in there and work in it. It sustains you, and it'll sustain us. And so the dad goes and meets with the mom and says to the mom, he says, you know, who would we rather bless than our kids? Who would we rather have what we have and earn for to go down and bless our kids? So he says to them, he says, sure, okay, you're in. And so he put all five of them to work. 10 years, he's retired, 10 years go by, and there's a meeting that they call him to come to, so he goes to the office, and hadn't been there in a while, and shows up, says hello to everybody, and goes on in the boardroom. When he sits down in the boardroom, lo and behold, at his just surprise, is the business had just gone totally downhill. So much so until they were voting at that point whether they want to go ahead and close it up or not, and decided all we can do is close. And so the dad stopped everything for a moment and said, whoa, what's been happening the last 10 years? And then it came out. Ever since day one, they hired his kids. They've been on the take. And they've taken so much out of the company until it had to close. Now, can you imagine? Do you imagine the heartbreak of your life's work gone? That's one thing. That's a pretty big hit. But can you imagine the reality when it's your own kids who robbed you? Friends, is there any deeper hurt than when a family member goes to a level like that that's so dishonoring to your dad? To your dad? To your father? Your heavenly father? To your dad? This thing is not just impersonal. It's not just accounting. It's just not about numbers. I mean, Jesus, you know, he laid it out where he says, there'll always be in a war. And he knew this. He said, you always be in a war with mammon, which is a god, and God. There's always be a war, but the war will go on forever, as long as you're alive. But there'll always be only one winner. You cannot serve both of them. One will be on top. And when it comes to tithing, it is the smoke that fleshes everything out. Because no matter what you think, no matter what you say, no matter what your excuse, it's out. One has won or the other has won. And he was asking you, he said, you know, just take your history and reset the bar now. Let me ask you this. What if we were back when we did the series about running with giants? What if Malachi would be one of the ones we brought out? If Malachi came right now and looked at the cathedral, what would he say to the cathedral? He would say, I'm glad you studied my book. I really am. And I'd say to Malachi, I tell you, how you came at those people was just brilliant. You kept moving them down. I mean, have you ever thought of being an attorney? And then he would say, all right, cathedral. I had to raise the bar with the children of Israel. With y'all, it's a little different in that God had done everything and was their father. But he said, cathedral, if context changes everything. So now if you would take what belongs to God, when he's given you health, when he's given you your mind, he's given you your ability to gain wealth, you haven't. He has blessed you and everything you have comes from his hand. And all he says is, I want to keep on blessing you more and more. And just let your heart stay in the right place by honoring me with your tithes. But if you put that, friends, up against a blood-stained cross where God himself came and died in your place, Malachi would say, I think that carries a whole different amount of weight, doesn't it? That for you to honor God with the first fruits so that he can bless you even more, that's not a bad deal, Malachi would say. But he'd say, maybe you go further and say, but from my experience, I knew with children of Israel, it was a heart condition. And some of them had really, really some heart issues going on concerning God. But I know the next thing is some of them had systems issues. And by systems issues, he said, I watched some of them challenge. And their heart was in the right place, that they would say, I want to honor God. I don't want to keep dishonoring God for the rest of my life. I want to honor him. And they would make a start. But they didn't do the systems work, and so it was short-lived. And I can tell you, friends, if you don't do a systems work, then 5 years down the road, you'll look and you'll be at the same place you are now. Because it takes readjusting your system. Because here's what I mean by systems. That after you hear messages like this, and if God deals with your heart, then you need to go home and you need to look at your budget. You need to take your budget out and say, how much are we spending? Are we overspending so that we don't even have enough money to honor God with what is? If it is, we need a system to get that in debt. We got to stop this spending. You know, we got to quit this thing. We got to get the cart and the horse lined up here, and God's got to be first. Can't be a credit card, and it can't be other stuff first. It's got to be God. So we got to make some changes. Take out a budget and look at it and look at some other stuff you got, and now come up with your plan. So the very thing, first off the top, is you can honor God. You don't want to wait and give Him what's left over. Off the top, so you get that create. That takes some courage. It takes some systematic work to sit down, get that stuff straight, and then make a commitment to honor God. It takes faith. It takes faith. Malachi's question to us today would be, who's winning this whole war that's been going on between money and God? You know, who wins? There's a pastor who was told a story about a businessman. And he met with the businessman. The businessman had four or five businesses. And so he was meeting with him, and the businessman just commented that of all the businesses he had, he takes a salary from just one of them, and off of that salary is what he tithes. And this pastor, knowing business like he did, he said, "Now, so all the other businesses you have, of their increase, you don't tithe?" You know, which is the definition, you're 10% of your increase. So every time something comes your way or you have some kind of windfall or something, then that 10% off the top of that, then it goes to God as tithes. And he says, "Well, no, I'm not." And so the pastor looked at him and says, "Now, Joe, you know as well as I know that your salary is just your walking around money. You know, that's just chump change for you. And you got all these revenues and sources coming in that God's blessing you with." And so he went home, and he actually prayed about it. He went home and called him back in a few days and told him, he said, "Let me tell you what I've done. I called my accountant, and I got my accountant in, and I gave my accountant the task of every 30 days to figure out what our profit margin, what the increase has been, and every 30 days give me that number that now we would, in fact, give God what is His." And the pastor asked him back, because that was a pretty big deal for a businessman. And by the way, let me just say to you, we all are wealthy in this place. You know that? In the scope of the world, we are wealthy. Would you agree? We are rich. We are. And you're aware that a couple of billion people went to sleep hungry last night? And again, backdrop, friends, context. The very fact you have a job, the very fact you have the resources, you have your health, you have all the backdrop of that in the whole world. I mean, to not give a tenth. The guy said, "So how do you feel about that?" He said, "For the first time in my Christian life, I feel clean. For the first time in my whole Christian life, there's nothing between me and God." He said, "And it feels wonderful. But it costs me. And I'm willing to give it." Now, we're all wealthy. But let me just drop another word too. There's another strata of folks to be on the wealthy. And they're the ones who are in the top bracket. What's sad about that across America is if you make $100,000 or more, that group of people will give 1% or possibly 2%. If you take the average Joe, and then even folks at a lower thing, percentage-wise, they give more than the top echelon of people. Now, why is that? Well, here's what I think is part of it. It's like the old story where the old boy got a hold of the tithing message, and he's going to say he's going to be obedient. And so, you know, he was just making a little bit of money. And so he started tithing. So he's $10. Well, God blessed him. He said $20. God blessed him. $30. God blessed him, and it went to $50. Next thing you know, he's paying $100, and now $200. And finally, one day, he sat down, and his tithe was $1,000. He went to the pastor, and he said, wait. He said, I cannot write a check for $1,000. That's way too much money. And the pastor said, okay, I'll pray to God bust you back down to be paying $10, and you could afford that. Here's a principle, I think. As long as it's small, you can do it. But when it starts getting up there, it just something says, wait a minute. And I think one of the factors is, at that point, you just simply say, I can't do that much. Why do I say that? Because here's what it says. He who has been given much, can anybody finish it? Much is required. So friends, let me ask you this. Oh, by the way, let me ask you this. Who's going to win? All right. How many are pulling for Atlanta? How many of you are pulling for the Northerners? I think they got it. No, okay. All right. Let me ask you this. Just what if Super Bowl Sunday? What if Super Bowl Sunday, this is what, the 51st? Is that the 51st Super Bowl? Yeah, I think so. What if this Sunday you would drive a stake in the ground to remember all of your lives? I remember Super Bowl Sunday when the game was being played and I made a decision about the game of life when it comes to money and it comes to honoring God. And I chose God that day and I drove a stake in the ground. And ever since then, I've been on the winning team, and God's been on my side winning. And you can look back for the rest of your life, and you can look back and say, this is the day that I drove the stake in the ground. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for being such a gracious father, and thank you for dealing with us as your children. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that for their sake, for the sake of their future, for the sake of their family, for the sake of what you want to do in 2017, that we line up with you, God, and we release your power and your authority to enlarge our borders, to put your hand on us, to open the windows of heaven, to bless the fruit of our labor, the fruit of our loins, that you would, Lord, just do exactly what you say. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord bless you. And the greeters are coming. We can receive the offering before we go. And they'll soon be past you. As they're past you, let's worship together. All right. I just want to make you conscious of something, all of you who tithe. All right. I want to make you conscious of what it brings back to you, which we've talked about. Right. But here's what I want to start coming out of your mouth when you think about life. I want you to think about this. Just saying, you look at your family and simply say, you know, I'm a tither. Huh? What does that mean? I mean, you got your hands on all this stuff, yeah. Yeah, you look at some conflicts to come up, and I went out of your mouth and said, hey, I'm a tither. And you said you'd rebuke the devourer for me. There you go after him. You know, go ahead. I've got some problems to solve. You said, Lord, I'm a tither. Now, I want you to build that consciousness and begin to release your faith. Because God, how many of you believe that God will do what he said? Will he? And all he needs, friend, is us to cooperate with him. All he needs is for us to release our faith and believe with him and be obedient. And then what he says about you and your life will come to pass just as sure as his name is God Almighty. Amen. That's your future, but you got to line up. Lord, bless you. Lord, keep you. Lord, cause his face to shine upon you. I bless you as you go, men and women of God. This nation called Christianity, the church, I bless you as his offspring, and his blessings be upon you. Have a great week, everybody. Lord bless you.